And welcome back to We the People Radio, second hour. And if you didn't know, Lucille Ball was a commie, you missed the first hour. Mm. That should have been our quiz question. Did you know Lucille Ball was a commie?
See, I would have thought Ricky was a commie, but I didn't think Lucy would be.
That's right. Ricky was from Cuba. Yeah. What about that? I don't know about Ricky. But Lucy's card is on the website.
All I got now is she's got some splaining to do.
Nice.
Yeah.
So if you go to wethepeopleradio.us and you look up the show on November the 25th of 2018, just in case we've replayed this at a different time, you will find Lucy's commie card. Not good.
Yeah.
Our guest today is Peter Friedman. And our sponsor this hour.
Our sponsor this hour is Team Power. Team Power is our local John Deere Kubota tractor dealer up on Twin View Boulevard, just south of Phil's Propeller. And they're at 3119 Twin View Boulevard. And they do everything tractors, from small tractors to big tractors, parts sales service. They do it all up there. They're friendly folks. Go up and see them. And you can call them Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. They're closed on Saturday now until spring. But their number is 226-9226, or you can reach them on the web at readingtractors.com.
Ta-da.
That's Team Power.
Tractors that are green, tractors that are orange.
Yep. Best you can buy.
There you go. Okay. So without further ado, back to our guest, Peter Friedman. And the answer to everything, by the way, is do your research and read the book.
Read the book.
That's always the thing. Do the research, read the book. So you're a firearms instructor, you're a pilot. You've been a pilot for, 50 years or something? What was your 50-year?
Well, I've been in aviation business for 52 years, and I've been a flight instructor since 1977.
Nice.
Amongst other things.
Yeah, all sorts of stuff. And
anyway.
Okay, so launching back in. It was
launching back
like we were never going.
Here's an answer to a Jeopardy question.
Ooh.
In Hillary Clinton's third year in law school at Yale, she came out here to Berkeley and clerked for the head of the California Communist Party. A woman named Doris Walker.
Really?
And Robert Truhaft. Oh, yeah. You just look it up. Okay?
Right in the face.
It's right there. It's on Google. And she was given an opportunity while she clerked that summer for these people in Berkeley to be part of the defense team for the Black Panthers and Bobby Seale.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. I didn't realize she clerked for the Communist Party. That's pretty amazing.
Yep, Doris Walker. Look it up. It's right there. I mean, just, Doris Walker and Robert Truhaft. Anyway, let me tell you how stupid Democrats are, especially in South Carolina. You remember the baloney with Nikki Haley when she was governor about the Confederate Stars and Bars flag flying over the Capitol?
Uh-huh.
Okay, and the Stars and Bars was the state flag of South Carolina.
Right.
And all the little millennials were protesting and breaking things and everything. We've got to get rid of that because it's racist and on and on and on. You know what the state flag of South Carolina is today? They replaced the Stars and Bars. Do you know what the state flag is today?
No.
Got to look it up. It's the Palmetto flag. The state, of South Carolina is called the Palmetto State after the Palmetto tree.
Okay.
The only place where it grows in the United States. So the state flag of South Carolina, the Stars and Bars, was replaced by this palmetto flag, which is a white palmetto tree sitting on a field of blue with a crescent moon under it.
Whoa.
Now, what's interesting, if you really do the research, this exact flag was adopted as the state flag of the Confederacy in 1861 in January.
Classic.
Keep it down, Peter. They're going to throw that one out next.
But did some millennial think they designed it?
Who knows? They thought, we're the Palmetto State, so our state flag should have a palmetto tree on it. So the state flag, the identical flag, that was adopted by the Confederacy and that flew over Fort Sumter, our national anthem, right? Oh, say can you see? And here is Francis Scott Key watching the Confederates bombing Fort Sumter. And when the Confederates finally occupied Fort Sumter, they raised the Confederate flag over Fort Sumter, and it was the flag with the palmetto tree on it. And that is the flag that these idiots, without any knowledge of history, have now adopted as the state flag of South Carolina.
Wow. I actually just kind of feel sorry for them at this point. That's just sad.
It's hysterical. It's hysterical. I mean, this is public education, I guess.
I'm sure that the older people in South Carolina just were incredulous.
Oh, I'm sure, you know, the
stars and bars were,
and everything are just laughing.
Yeah.
You know. Okay, guys, go ahead.
It's okay.
Take that flag.
Huge improvement.
So let me explain why the media hates Donald Trump.
Oh, wow.
It's very simple. It is very simple, as are most things in life if you break them up. Okay, so what you have here is a media, Democrat Party, and academia nexus, okay? They're all together. This all started with the media during Watergate in 1972 with Richard Nixon, because up until that time, the media reported on political campaigns. They didn't influence or control a political campaign. With Nixon and Watergate, and you're probably not old enough to remember that, but with Nixon and Watergate back between 72 and when he resigned in August of 74, it was the media and this idiot Carl Bernstein, who would have been long gone had he not been with the Washington Post. He didn't do any research. Deep Throat gave him all the information. Deep Throat today would have contacted Fox News. But back then, there was no Fox News. There was no talk radio or anything. So he contacted the Washington Post, which was reasonably, you know, a middle-of-the-road media at the time. So Bernstein, ever since then, has just proceeded, you know, along in his life, based on what he did with Watergate, and which was really nothing. He was just the receiver of the information, and they published it. From 1972 on, the media became like in England back in the Wars of the Roses with the Lancasters and the Yorks, the Earl of Warwick. And the Earl of Warwick was known in history in England as the Kingmaker, because people went to the Earl of Warwick and said, who do you think ought to be the king? Should we go with the Yorks or the Lancasters? And that's how he became the kingmaker. This is what happened with the media after Watergate. The media all of a sudden discovered the power that they had in order to influence political elections. And it has been this way ever since for the last 44 years? And if you think about that, the reason that the media gave Trump all of the airtime, Trump doesn't have enough money to buy the airtime he got during the campaign. They gave him all of that airtime because it was a pay-per-view event between him and Hillary. And all it did was raise the ratings of the media. People wanted to just, let's tune in and watch this cat fight. And then the media said there is no way, because Hannity, you know, puts this on all the time. He does this montage of everybody on CNN and MSLSD saying, oh, well, Trump, it's a joke. He's never going to get elected. So we can go ahead and we can make fun of him and everything. And they were stunned in November in 2016.
To say it lightly, they were stunned.
And I do love those montages that they play periodically of them.
And all of a sudden, Trump now has caused the media to lose their control over politics. That's why they hate him.
Well, if they would have, you know, gone after him and then he would have been quiet, would have been game over, they would have owned him. But he refuses to acknowledge and care about what they say. And everybody knows that's the most powerful thing. if you ignore it, you take away all the power.
He figured them out early and pretty much control what they reported. Yeah.
It's been kind of interesting. So believe it or not, we have to celebrate capitalism again really quickly. And then we'll be right back.
Wait to see what happens here, especially with, Tucson Newsom taking over as governor.
We were just talking about that.
We were talking about him on the break. When we come back, we want thoughts on good old Gavin. We will be right back with our guest, Peter Friedman. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Coming when I won't be able to use this song anymore.
Yeah. Play your cards right, though. You can get buried in the Kremlin.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, they do have a program for that.
Bad news bears. All right, Peter. Back to you.
Okay. I want to get into the immigration thing because I want to explain to everybody the caravans. Because everybody thinks that, okay, this is spontaneous and these people are the gang. It's all nonsense. Let me explain this. Okay. The Democrats believe in changing demographics for political control. Look what's happened in California. Our votes are worthless. Okay? People in California are so indoctrinated and ignorant that they turned down Proposition 6, which would have eliminated Jerry Brown's increase in the gas tax. They didn't read the proposition. The proposition did not say that the increase in the gas tax was going to go to repair roads and stuff, but it said specifically in that proposition that it would be money that would be deposited into the general fund. So you got some guy like Gavin Newsom who's coming out here and saying, well, you know, we're going to have single-payer insurance in California for medical care, and by the way, we are going to cover illegal aliens. So let me connect some dots here for you. Immigration. Everybody's going nuts now because Trump has rightfully threatened to shut the border. Well, he wouldn't be the first president who's ever done that. There's never been a Democrat president who's done it. But it's been done by Ronald Reagan. It was done by George Bush Sr. And it was hopefully going to be done by Donald Trump. Based on the Red Scare of 1924, and please Google the Red Scare. This is when the Bolsheviks from Russia who escaped Stalin came here, tried to overthrow our government and create a communist government. Based on that, from 1924 until 1964, we had almost no immigration into this country at all. Period. Borders were closed. Only certain people were allowed to come in. This is a fact. It's like gravity. Look it up. Okay, so what happened in 1964? Well, let's think about that for a minute. Gee whiz, November of 63, as I recall, Jack Kennedy was assassinated. 1964, Lyndon Johnson takes over, and there were two senators, pardon me, who came to Johnson, Democrats, of course, and said, you know, we've got a heck of an idea here. We are going to have to bring refugees in here so that they have a pathway to citizenship. Now, this is very important. Somebody who is a recognized refugee into the United States or who is granted legal asylum is given a green card. They're given cash. They're given a pathway to citizenship after 4 years. If you come over illegally, you have no pathway to citizenship. So it doesn't benefit the Democrat Party to bring illegals in here. They have got to find a way to bring people in here legally under the refugee program or as asylees. So what happened in 1964? Nobody came in here to augment the voter rolls for the Democrat Party from 1924 until 1964. In 1964, you sitting down?
Yes.
Ted Kennedy, who has expired, and Joe Biden.
Uncle Joe.
Kennedy and Biden, and I cannot believe nobody throws this in Joe Biden's face, you know, if he tries to run for president at 82 or 85 or whatever the heck he is now, throws this up to Joe Biden, the fact that in 1964 he convinced Lyndon Johnson to amend Eisenhower's 1952 Refugee Act to allow Vietnamese refugees to come into the United States. Now, the majority of the Vietnamese refugees who ultimately came here, they all as a bloc vote Democrat. If you recall, John Kennedy did not want to escalate in Vietnam. John Kennedy wanted to get out of Vietnam. Now, I'm not going to go to the grassy knoll at this point, but Kennedy very specifically did not want to get involved in Vietnam, especially with the fiasco with the Bay of Pigs in Cuba. Well, you've also got to remember that Lyndon Johnson was from Texas. He was also Speaker of the House at one point. And in Texas, you had the majority of all of the military industries, LTV, Bell Helicopter, all these companies that were producing military hardware that were used in Vietnam. I know, I was there. 1964. I was in the Navy. So, interestingly enough, Johnson goes and puts the bill through Congress because it was a Democrat Congress, and they pass the bill, he signs it, and now all of a sudden we get involved heavily in the Vietnamese conflict. We start bringing Vietnamese refugees over here. Not only them, but Cambodians, okay, people from Laos. All of a sudden, they start under Johnson infiltrating here until 1968, of course, when Nixon won in a landslide because we wanted to stop the war. So if you recall back then, if you do the research, and again, you're probably not old enough to remember, but in 1968, you had people, as far as the millennials were concerned, on both sides, Republican and Democrat, who were against the war. They had a common target. And today, we don't have that common target. And so that's why you have this gang war between the Republican base and the Democrat base. There is no common target. Okay? So now, you're talking about the refugees. All right? Again, you've got to remember that a refugee or an asylee has a direct pathway to citizenship. Illegal aliens don't. Okay, so now, based on that, you have to understand what has happened with refugees to understand this current caravan since 1964. So the first thing we did was we brought in the Vietnamese. Under Clinton, we brought in the Somalis. Okay, you can't hire a cab at Minneapolis Airport that doesn't have a Somali driving it, because there are 900 cabs at Minneapolis Airport, and the entire franchise goes to the Somali refugees. It's also the children of those Somali refugees that shot up the Westgate Mall in Bombay, India, a few years ago, if you recall. And out of the nine, I think, terrorists that shot it up, seven of them were the children, the sons of Somali refugees that were brought in here by Bill Clinton after Mogadishu and settled in Minnesota. So when you start looking at that, and then all of a sudden, gee whiz, that makes Keith Ellison sound, familiar. I wonder if there's a nexus there as the first Muslim ever elected to Congress. And then the two Muslim women in Minnesota who were just elected to Congress, who campaigned throughout the midterm elections without wearing a hijab. And when they took the picture of all of the freshman Congress critters 2 weeks ago on the Capitol steps, here are these two women in hijabs now.
Oh, and let's not forget how much they liked Israel before they got elected.
They have also put a bill together in Congress now to allow religious garb to be worn in Congress.
Which has always been a no-no.
Because we had a hat rule. There was a hat rule in Congress. Right. Couldn't wear hats. Could you imagine if what's-her-face out of Texas, the other Maxine Waters with the hats?
Oh, Sheila Jackson. Oh, no. Frederica Wilson.
Yeah,
of
I was going to say Frederica, but that sounds funny.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And that crazy woman that looks like something out of Wizard of Oz from Connecticut.
Yeah, Laura.
With the colored hair.
Yeah, her parents were peacocks, or one of them was.
Good God. Yeah. Okay, so let me stay on this migration thing.
We're going to get an award for kindness. You know that, don't you?
Oh, I hope so.
Not.
So what happens with this caravan now? If you think about it, a year ago, Trump said, we're shutting off Muslim immigration, no more Syrian Muslims and stuff, from these seven countries. So the Democrats panicked. And they went, my God, okay, if we're going to salt the demographics, we've got to find a way to bring more refugees in here and more people seeking asylum. Because Trump now won in the Supreme Court. Okay, after a couple of these Yahoo Ninth Circus Court of Appeals people, judges, said, no, you can't do that. Yes, you can do that. He's the president. It's right there in Article 3 of the Constitution. And so the Supreme Court upheld his ability by statute to stop immigration from these countries. No more Muslim refugees now came in. So the Democrats had to find a way to get more refugees in here. And this is what this caravan is involved with. These are people who are coming up here, not from Mexico. They are called OTMs by the Border Patrol. It's other than Mexican, because the Mexicans by themselves can't come in here and claim refugee status. They can't claim asylum because they're not persecuted in Mexico. So the Democrats carved out this loophole that said, okay, anybody else, though, it's not from Mexico and it's not a Mexican national, they can come in here and they can be granted asylum. And guess what? We're going to give them a path to citizenship and they'll always vote Democrat.
And the great part is right now, as we speak, actually, they are looking at shutting down the border because a whole bunch of them. And again, this is Sunday, November 25th, 2018, in case this is airing at a different time, don't panic. But the caravan actually tried to push past the border at the San Ysidro port of entry. And imagine that. They were mostly men. They rushed the border and mostly dispersed, but they've closed a lot of the car traffic. And one of the news things said they have closed the border, although I couldn't verify that in another source. So we have to take a quick break.
All they have to do is get in, and then they can get a notice to appear.
That's right, and it'll be magical for them.
Yeah.
Oh, great, and magical for us as well. But most magical, and Merry Christmas for the Democratic Party. Terrific. We'll be right back with our guest, Peter Friedman.
don't need no education. We don't need no thought control. No dark sarcasm in the classroom. Teacher, leave them kids alone.
Hey, how's this for sarcasm? Go get a job. That's pretty harsh talk there, though.
Get a haircut and get a job.
Yeah.
If you want to switch songs, you gotta stick with songs.
Get a real job.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. It's like we were never gone.
Yeah. So we're back. We're back to the border.
Okay. Am I on?
Yes, you are, sir.
Okay. Let me explain.
You're always on.
Modus operandi here for the caravan. It's called Cloward and Piven. I don't know if you've ever heard of
it. Oh, yeah. Overload the system.
Overload the system. Richard Cloward, who fortunately is expired, and Francis Fox Piven back in 1966, both communist professors at Columbia. Francis is still alive and still teaching at 85, 86 years old at Columbia, you know, indoctrinating stupid millennials. And they came up with this method by which they could effect change for the poor. And that was to overload the system. And this is what the caravans are trying to do. So if you understand the doctrine of Cloward and Piven and you read their whole doctrine and you take a look at what's going on down there at the border, you pretty much can connect the dots and discover who's behind this caravan baloney. All right, so immigration. Let's talk a little bit about who's funding this. During the Obama administration, okay, the majority of refugees that were brought into the United States were placed in six states. You might recognize them. 10% went to Texas, 9% to California, 6% to Michigan, 5%, almost 6% to New York, 5% to Florida, because they're obviously trying to turn Florida blue, and 4.5% to Arizona. So the whole idea was to salt the demographics with potential Democrat voters, and you saw what happened with Martha McSally and that idiot Sinema down there in Arizona. And that's what's going on, and this is what they are doing. This is what they're doing. And our State Department foments this. They implement this because they provide the funding to nine contractors that are exclusive to the State Department, and I'm going to read you off the names of these contractors and how much money, tax money, we give them in order to run this refugee program and place these refugees where they get placed. It runs into the billions, and it's funded by the Department of Homeland Security as far as processing them. Homeland Security provides the green cards, provides the cash payments, which is about $3,000 for the first 6 months, and then the federal government turns them over to the local government. Department of State processes the admissions, and the Department of Health and Human Services, Office of Refugee Resettlement, funds this almost $1 billion today by itself. Okay, Health and Human Services. Okay, so here are the nine contractors, exclusive. The first one is the Church World Service. Now, you can go to irs.gov, and you can pull up their 990 tax forms. They're right there, so this information comes right from the Internal Revenue Service. We gave them taxpayer money, $76 million. Okay? Ethiopian Community Development Council, we gave them only $15 million. This is our tax money funded to these nine contractors through the State Department to resettle refugees. The Episcopal Migration Ministries, we gave them $17 million. The Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, they got $25 million. All right? You remember the synagogue that shot got shot up?
Yeah.
Okay. In Pittsburgh, they were part of this funding that came to do this. That's why I guess this guy was so upset. The International Rescue Committee, got to sit down for this one, $456 million. That came right off the 994.
Hmm. Who are they rescuing?
Yeah, really. The United States Conference, get this, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, $39 million. This information is 3 years old. It's got to be a lot more today. The Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services, they got $43 million. The World Relief Corporation got $56 million. This is 3 years old. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, they resettled the largest number of refugees in the United States in the last 10 years, $70 million.
God, they're slipping. They should have got more than that.
Okay. In California, the four preferred cities for refugee resettlement have been Sacramento, San Diego, Modesto, and would you believe Walnut Creek, where I am? There is a resettlement office in Walnut Creek that is right outside of Rossmore.
The big retirement community?
Yeah, in Walnut Creek. And if you go down there and you try and have a chat with them, they don't have to give you any information whatsoever because under Obama, they passed a Privacy Act. They do not have to tell you anything. They don't have to tell you how many Syrian refugees they have placed in Walnut Creek or how much money they get or anything.
Now they're based in Walnut. They're based in Walnut Creek, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're settling people in Walnut Creek because that's kind of a high bucks district, isn't it?
Well, it essentially is, but they tried to build a huge mega mosque here in Walnut Creek as well.
How'd that work out?
Got turned down.
What happened to all that tolerance?
Got turned down. Yeah. They decided
we want that tolerance as long as it's over where you are.
But do you understand what's going on with the caravans now?
Oh, sure.
Because Trump shut off refugees from the Middle East, and the Democrats, for 2020, they need to bring in more people who have a pathway to citizenship. And in 1996, when Clinton and Gore ran for re-election, Clinton personally promoted a project prior to his re-election to enfranchise and create citizens out of 330,000 refugees that he had brought in from various parts of the world, including Somalia. And they kept it real quiet. But if you do the research, you can find it. Well, and this is what's going on.
Well, they're posting. They're currently posting videos of migrants that are at this very moment pushing toward the border fence, chanting "Yes, we can." And on the other side are the Marines and the Air and Marine agents. So I don't know what that means. I was thinking Air Force and Marine Corps, but maybe that's not what that means.
Well, what we need at the border is we need a DMZ, a demilitarized zone, of about 100 yards between us and Mexico.
Yeah.
And you better not get caught in the middle.
Yeah, because right now it's a big game. They've all got big smiles on their faces, and they're running through the water, and we're running up to the fence, and it's all just,
And waving Honduran flags, waving other countries' flags. That's called a military invasion.
Yeah. Well, and 90% of them, the article says, 90% of them are men. So the whole women and children thing kind of, some reporter found a picture of a woman and a child. But
yeah, but when you watch the news, I guarantee you most of the shots will have women and children in them.
Of course they do.
And that's what they want you to believe.
Complex.
Yeah.
And the media is controlled you know, together with the Democrats. I wanted to tell you something funny about Hollywood. Just talking to somebody who was in the film business a couple of days ago, who is a conservative, and I will not mention the name. And I was saying, this is very interesting about Hollywood, because Hollywood did not invent the film business. The film business in Hollywood was started by Russians who escaped Stalin in 1917 after the Russian Revolution, and they all came from the Russian Film Institute. Now, I used to live next door to a guy named Ben Fish when I grew up in Beverly Hills. Ben Fish's brother was a guy named Sam Fish, but that's not their name. When the two brothers escaped from Russia after the revolution, their name was Samuel and Benjamin Goldfish.
I was close. I picked Birch.
Sam Goldwyn.
Oh.
So Sam Goldwyn, Sam changed his name from Goldfish to Goldwyn. And his brother Ben decided to leave off the gold and call himself Ben Fish.
Huh.
So the people who started Hollywood, which is another piece of propaganda that's incredible, were people who escaped Russia in 1917, 1918 from the Russian Film Institute. Because I was an apprentice photographer when I was 13 years old to a guy named Dr. Alexander Arkatov, who was one of the heads of the Russian Film Institute, and wound up becoming a member of our temple in Beverly Hills. Got the whole story right from there.
You've seriously been there and done that. I mean, that's the only thing that describes it. We have to take a really quick break, and I found a couple songs for you in honor of your firearms history there, and firearms everywhere that are probably going to now be all illegal in California. Might as well sing about them.
Talking about his brand new mission, liked his plans, but they came undone when it got around to God and guns. I don't know how he grew up, but it sure wasn't down at the hunting club. Cause if it was, he'd understand just a little bit more about the working man. God and guns keep us strong. That's what this country was founded on.
There I was at the immigration scene, shining. I got stopped by the immigration man. He said he doesn't know if he can. Let me in, let me in. Immigration man, can I cross the line and pray I can stay another day? Let me in, immigration man. I won't toe your line today, I can't see it anyway.
There's no line, just come on in. Can't see the line.
Yep, just grab a child. Actually, yeah. that's your ticket in. All right, Peter, we've got like 10 minutes. What do we want to try to cram in the last 10?
Gun control is fun.
Yeah, why not?
You know, you put it up on the website, which is really... it's amazing, and all it proves with what, you know, you put on the website is that Democrats shouldn't be allowed to own firearms. You know, like if you start with Abe Lincoln, he was shot by a Democrat. James Garfield,
that's a nice
President
list you've got
Garfield,
there.
Yeah, he was shot by a Democrat. Gerald Ford was fired at by, you know, what was it, Mousy or whatever her name was. She tried to kill Gerald Ford in 75.
Squeaky.
83, you know, the guy Hinckley shot Ronald Reagan. He was a registered Democrat. 84, James Hubert, a Democrat, shot and killed 22 people in a McDonald's restaurant. 86, Patrick Sherrill, shot and killed 15 people in Oklahoma post office. 1990, James Poe, a Democrat, registered, shot and killed 10 people at a General Motors office. You know, you just keep going. I mean, there's that whole list that you put up there that I gave to you. You know, and you go all the way down to, you know, 2016, you got the crazy guy who shot up the baseball game.
Yeah,
and
Steve Scalise.
Wounded Congressman Steve Scalise. And you just, you take a look at all of these Democrats who have gotten involved with firearm violence, including, you know, Gerald Loeffner, Adam Lanza, the crazy guy in the Colorado theater. I'm sorry, Newtown, Connecticut. James Holmes, he was the guy in the movie theater. Gerald Loeffner in 2010 that shot Representative Gabrielle Giffords. He killed six other people besides taking shots at her. You know, and again, what does it prove to me? Connect the dots. Democrats shouldn't be allowed to own firearms. It's that simple. Find me a conservative or a Republican that has ever done any of these things. You can't find them. Not only that, but since I teach this stuff as a firearm, you know, instructor, the FBI has absolutely no record in their files of anybody in the last two, three generations since they started keeping records with J. Edgar Hoover of anybody that had a lawful permit to carry concealed committing a crime with a firearm. Period. Nothing.
Yeah.
Zippo.
You did, however, have the guy in Texas who shot the guy who shot up the church, and he was a Republican, I believe. And he had
the
a,
guy who shot up the church, or the guy
no,
who
the
shot
guy that,
the guy who shot
the,
up
no, the guy that shot the guy.
The guy
he
that
came
shot,
out of his
that,
house
that stopped
the,
him.
Yeah, he stopped him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And then you had the other guy that walked into the, what was it, the packing plant. I'm trying to remember where it was, in Oklahoma, with an AR-15 and a big butcher knife, and he cut the one woman's
cut
head
her
off.
Cut head off, yeah.
And the guy ran outside who used to own the business. He was there under a contract, you know, during this transition of the business. He ran out to his car because the new owners made it a gun-free zone. And he ran out to his car. He was a reserve deputy, grabbed his AR out of the trunk, came back in, and put the guy down before he could cut the other woman's head off. So, you know, and he was a registered Republican and a reserve deputy. So, you know, if you actually look at this kind of stuff, then you basically can understand why the left has always promoted gun confiscation. Whenever an authoritarian regime takes control in any kind of an environment, the first thing they got to get rid of is they got to get rid of everybody's ability to defend themselves, because then they have absolute control and there's nothing you can do about it. That's why the people in the caravan want to get out of Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala. I mean, nothing here is difficult.
No.
All you've got to do is pay attention and stop believing the propaganda that you're hearing in public schools. These kids are getting degrees in basket weaving and ethnic studies and women's studies and all the rest of this garbage, and then they graduate and they don't understand why they can't find a job. They can't find a job because they don't have a skill.
Well, and they got tricked into taking out a student loan. Don't forget that.
They got tricked.
Oh, well,
they got
tricked. That's why Obama nationalized the student loan process. Now go back to the Communist Manifesto, Karl Marx, Friedrich Engels, 1848, and it's in there.
Wow.
Fairly straightforward.
Access to education.
Yeah.
And then they turn around under Obama and say, well, you know, if you do X amount of government service, we'll, you know, give you, you know, some
relief.
Credit for the loans that you owe the government. And these kids are out there, and the minute Obama nationalized the student loan program, except for one bank in Utah, by the way, which is another story for another seminar. All of a sudden, all these universities raised their tuition rates.
Sure, guaranteed.
And there you go.
Yep, it's guaranteed. But I just don't understand how anybody with half a brain can take out a loan for anything and then feel like they shouldn't have to pay it back. I mean, that's basic finance 101.
Yeah, but not only do they not have to pay it back, but what is the guarantee that they will be able to move forward based upon this ridiculous education?
Yeah, nothing.
Where's the guarantee of the college to the student that if you give us $50,000, you will be able to go out and get a job?
Right. And in all fairness, I mean, we have nieces and nephews that, you know, they took out loans, but they got a degree in something that's marketable.
Actually, they didn't take out loans. They didn't take out loans. Scholarships. No.
Well, they spent a lot of money on their education, but I mean,
they were marketable when they went in, so the schools paid them to go there. They were either athletes or scholars.
Right.
So, well, and that's the way to do it.
Yeah, think about the other kids though. When Obama nationalized the student loan program, and now he turns around and he makes them conditioned to accept largesse from the government. We're gonna forgive part of your loan if you, I should tell you, vote Democrat, okay? Because when you rob Peter to pay Paul, you always get Paul's vote.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna give you this loan, and you get to go to this school, and here's what you have to study. And when you get out, if you continue to do what we want you to do, we will forgive part of this loan, and we won't give you a 1099 for it. Hmm. It's buying votes.
Yeah, no, exactly.
It's just propaganda and buying votes and creating this continuing basis to keep the people doing it in power. It has nothing to do with America. It's got nothing to do with patriotism whatsoever. These people could care less. Republicans think for themselves.
Yep.
This is why you see people in the Republican Party, you know, guys like John McCain, who's expired, okay, who you know, speak for themselves, and you have the conservative caucus, the Freedom Caucus, and guys like that. Democrats, they will BS you to get elected, and they all vote in lockstep, because if they don't, Nancy Pelosi won't give them any money to get reelected.
Yep. And she's making that very clear right now. So, Peter, thank you very much for coming on.
But we've watched her silence her opposition, so you got to hand her...
she swings a mean club.
Always a pleasure.
For a granny, she's
always
a toughie.
All right.
Love being with you guys, and look forward to the next time.
All right, Peter.
Thanks a lot, Peter.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate it. You've been listening to We the People. You can find everything you need to know about the show at wethepeopleradio.us.